Chapter 29. The Stairs to the Stars. The staircase presented our first problem. It was steeper than I remembered, and ran straight up a narrow gap between two walls. There had hardly been room for me to pass down in my flounced-out skirts and bustle, let alone walk two abreast. "I shall go first," I decided, "and you shall bring up the rear, Mr. Hockaday."
"Hockaday," Prince Ulrich mused. "I rarely know their names, but this one caused me trouble."
"She has hardly begun," Peter vowed, as I put my foot on the first step. We moved up crabwise, so that I was up three steps before my prisoner was on the first. His face was slightly lower than mine, and I could look into his eyes, deep and dark with a hint of amusement. Muffled voices came down the stairwell.
"I do not believe you will kill me,"
his lips pouted disdainfully. "There is one sure way to find out." I edged up another step. The prince stumbled, and I dug the muzzle in.
"I believe you," he promised hastily.
The talking grew louder, men's voices raised in banter and breaking into laughter. My right shoulder touched the door at the top, and I realized that I had a problem. The door had a round wooden handle. Obviously, I could not turn that with my elbow, and I could not use my right hand. "Do not put me to the test," I warned, and unlinked my arm from his, keeping the gun firmly in place.
"If you shoot me, my friends will kill you both. And they are cruel men,"
Prince Ulrich assured me.
"Then you had better behave," Peter Hockaday warned, "or we shall all die."
I twisted my torso, not taking my eyes off the prince. "You will speak English." I found the handle with my left hand. "Here goes," I breathed, mainly to myself, and twisted the handle. The door creaked, and I linked my arm through his again.
"Ulrich,"
a deep voice cried merrily. Sidney Grice would have been able to translate his next remark, but I did not have much German. I think he commented how quick the prince had been, and that another voice asked if he'd had good sport.
"Speak English in the lady's presence," the prince instructed.
The door swung open, and I saw three of them, two sitting and one standing over the Chinaman at his desk. Fu Jones stared at me and wet his lips, nonplussed, and then amused. He put his hands together and bowed.
"Aber was?"
A striking red-headed young man in a long maroon cloak eyed us in surprise.
"It is all good,"
the prince assured them.
"We are just going for a walk."
"Aber," the young man began again, and then some more. I understood none of it, but his tone was clearly suspicious. We shuffled up.
Nein, Prince Ulrich assured him. "We go alone."
We were in the room now, and it was obvious from their uneasy glances that they were suspicious. Peter Hockaday came up after us.
"Guten Abend, Herren," he greeted the group cheerily, and their puzzlement increased.
I got to the door with my prisoner, and he pulled it open. The red-haired man grabbed Peter's arm.
"What is going on?"
he demanded.
"We are."
Peter tried to shrug him off, but the man tightened his grip. Jones did his best oriental inscrutability, but I saw him slide open a drawer without taking his brown eyes off me, and I was not going to wait to find out what he kept in there.
"We are leaving," I insisted quietly. "Now."
"Release him,"
Prince Ulrich commanded his companion, and the red-haired man let go of Peter.
"Oh, I nearly forgot."
He reached into his coat pocket, and I dug the muzzle in, but the prince produced a black cloth bag with a drawstring, and I heard the coins clink as Jones Chang caught it. The moon glowed full that night, and countless stars burned unimaginably far away. But all the lights of heaven could not penetrate the black misery that went by the name of Limehouse.